Okay, imagine this for a second. Healing, not with some pill, but just by being among trees. Today, we're doing a deep dive into something called Shinrin-yoku. It's this, well, ancient Japanese practice. You probably know it as forest bathing. And look, it's not just taking a hike, right? It's more about consciously soaking it all in, using all your senses in the forest. It actually started as a public health thing back in 1980s Japan, kind of an antidote to all the chronic stress, digital overload, and what one researcher, Dr. King Lee, calls a nature deficit disorder. So yeah, let's unpack this. We'll look at the deep cultural history, the science behind it, which is pretty surprising, and you know how you can give it a go.
Yeah, and what's really fascinating, I think, is how deep these roots go. It's not just a modern fad. It's tied right into Japan's ancient reverence for nature. Seriously old traditions.
Like, how old are we talking?
Centuries. You see it woven into Shinto beliefs, the idea of kami, these divine spirits living in trees and mountains, that sort of thing. And Buddhist traditions, too. Think of the Yamabushi mystics meditating out in the wild. It was, you know, fundamental.
Right. So you've got this really strong cultural connection. But then how did Japan's situation in the 80s, that Karoshi death from overwork problem, how did that lead to using this ancient idea nationally?
Well, that's where it became this really clever solution. Mm. In 1982, the government, specifically the Ministry of Agriculture, Forestry, and Fisheries, they actually coined the term Shinrin-yoku. Mm-hmm. They saw it as a low-cost, really accessible health program. Japan's loads forests, right? Like 67% coverage. Right. So they used that resource for public health and conservation. Pretty smart.
Okay. And then the science came in to back up what people maybe felt intuitively. We hear stress reduction, but what's actually happening in the body?
Yeah, the studies are pretty clear on this. They show measurable drops in cortisol.
The stress hormone.
Exactly. And lower blood pressure, too. We're talking average systolic drops around 3.4 millimillikishi. It's a real physiological shift. It nudges your body into that rest and digest mode, away from constant fight or flight.
Okay, just feeling calmer makes sense. But there's more, isn't there? Something about the air itself. This is where I think it gets really interesting. The phytoncides and natural killer cells.
Absolutely. This is fascinating stuff. Trees give off these airborne chemicals, phytoncides. It's basically their defense mechanism, their immune system.
Yeah.
And when we breathe them in, well, our own immune systems get a significant boost.
How so?
Dr. King Lee's research, which you mentioned, showed they boost our natural killer cells, or NK cells. These are crucial white blood cells. They target and destroy tumor cells and virus-infected cells.
Wow.
Yeah. His studies found NK cell activity shot up by over 50%, 53.2% to be precise, after a three-day forest trip. And the really amazing part, the effects lasted over 7 days, sometimes even up to 30 days later.
30 days from one trip? That's a serious immune boost just from breathing forest air. What about mentally, beyond just lowering stress?
Oh, yeah. It goes further. Forest bathing consistently helps reduce negative feelings, tension, anxiety, depression. And at the same time, it boosts positive feelings, like vigor. Some studies even suggest it increases mood-regulating neurotransmitters, like serotonin. It really does calm the mind.
Okay, so if you're listening now and thinking, all right, I want to try this, how do you do it? It's not about getting sweaty, right?
Definitely not. Key things are slow down, way down. A two-hour session, you might only cover, I don't know, less than a mile. Disconnect, leave the phone behind, or at least turn it off, and then just immerse your senses. What do you hear? Smell, feel. Guides often use gentle invitations, not orders, just suggestions.
Like what?
Things like pleasures of presence, just tuning into everything around you, or getting to know a tree, actually touching the bark, thinking about the air exchange. Some walks end with a simple tea ceremony using local plants, kind of bringing the forest inside, you know?
It sounds really grounding, and it's clearly catching on, right? It's gone global. You see professional training now. It's part of wellness programs.
It really has. You've got organizations like the Association of Nature and Forest Therapy Training Guides worldwide. It's influencing park design, urban planning, trying to bring more green into cities.
Makes sense.
And, you know, connecting this to the bigger picture, the science is promising, definitely. But we should also say it's still a growing field. Researchers acknowledge we need more large-scale randomized controlled trials, more diverse groups, longer studies, figuring out the best dose, so to speak.
Right. More research is always good.
But even so, the core idea, this simple wisdom from the forest, just being present, connected, simply being in our age of, you know, constant distraction and stress, that might be the most powerful medicine we've got.
That's a great way to put it. So a final thought for everyone listening. What's one small thing you could do? How could you invite just a little bit more of this forest medicine into your own life? Maybe it's just 5 minutes really noticing the nature right outside your window.